You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with host Doc Martin. Stay tuned in or call in. You won't want to miss what's happening next. How do you step into your maximum potential? How do you connect your spiritual drive with your physical path? Stick around as Doc Martin takes listeners on a journey through the seen and unseen, the accepted and the unbelievable. Get ready to meet the maximum you the world needs on Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin now. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Sharon Martin, aka Doc Martin, and you're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio, part of the Transformation Talk Radio family. Stay with us for the next hour. I have my guest, Dr. Carl Greer, here. Every month on the first Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, my guests and I will discuss ways to bridge the scientific with the mystical. All about helping you find ideas and processes to incorporate the esoteric and help you rise to any life challenges and help assist you to grow into the maximum you. So I have with me my very good friend, Dr. Carl Greer. Hi, Carl. I'm so glad you're here with me.
Nice to be with you, Sharon.
So for everyone, if you don't already know of Dr. Greer's, he is an author, he's a businessman, a Jungian analyst, and from my point of view, where I met him, a spectacular shaman, and actually a master practitioner. So just a little bit of background on Carl. He's a doctorate in business, as well as a doctorate in psychotherapy. And he was on the faculty at Columbia, worked in the business and management in their graduate school. And then he went to work for an oil company. But somehow, like many of us, we have these people who are masters in their other realms who then turn around and become very deeply involved in the mystical and spiritual. And I first met Carl when he was teaching his shamanic training. He was formerly a teacher at Alberto Violdo's light school, light body school. And he is a shaman with traditions mostly from the South American, but he studied with many, many other shamanic teachers in Canada, Australia, Ethiopia, Outer Mongolia. And he's written two books that you probably have seen lately on Amazon, Change Your Story, Change Your Life, and Change the Story of Your Health. So, Carl, I'm so glad you're here. And what I want to do today is kind of bring shamanism down to the every man's level, because I think people get this idea that it's somehow outside of us and it's somehow unachievable unless you go take a million courses or get a mystical experience. So what I'd like to know is from you, how did you arrive at shamanism, and what role did spirit play in getting you to that place?
Oh, I grew up in the Midwest, Sharon, in the 40s and 50s. My dad worked for U.S. Steel, and I lived in Pittsburgh and Gary and back in Pittsburgh. And I, like many of the men at that time, you know, thought my life would be working for a big company and having a wife and family and retiring and playing golf someplace. And to that end, I went to school in engineering. And I thought that any kind of tendencies that in the more esoteric realms, mythopoetic realms, would not serve me. So I really had the image I was going to burn them out of me. And I thought engineering would help do that. But as you know very well, sometimes when you try to squelch one thing, it kind of pops up in other ways. And in my earlier life, prior to going to college in engineering, I had occasion just through family situations, to spend a lot of time alone in nature. And I always felt invigorated and restored by it. And I had what I would call some mystical experiences early on in my life. I lived in a neighborhood in Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Pittsburgh that had a street that ended in a farm. And as a five-year-old, I walked up that street one day. I remember it very well. And I came onto the farm property, and there was an apple tree that I'd seen before. But all of a sudden, the tree just seemed to have a luminous energy around it that really affected me. And I felt the tree and I were interacting in ways that I just couldn't verbalize it, but I just experienced something. So that was the first start of my kind of shamanic experience. So now I'm going to school in engineering, I'm taking business, but there was a part of me that had been left behind that kept calling me to express itself. I ended up, as you said, becoming a psychologist and a Jungian analyst, starting to see people, clients, but I still had this desire for more. And I'd always been interested in the medicine men and women stories and the mountain men, and I'd read a lot of books about that. I'd read a lot of the Castaneda books and Lynn Andrews books and Haimo Storm's books about shamanism, but I never thought it was really practical for me to incorporate that in any kind of more than that in my life. Until I had gotten almost 60 years old, I'd been interested in martial arts and Qigong prior to being 60. But I got a book by Alberto Vallado, Shaman Healer Stage. I read it. My wife had given me that book. And then that made me think, you know, maybe there's a way I could do this training, which I did. And I trained with him for a number of years and taught, as you mentioned, on his programs, and had occasion to spend a lot of time in South America and work with other shamans. And it became a really, really, and still is, central part of my life. I still managed to keep some of these other areas of my life alive: business, psychology, and also in the last 10 years, philanthropic things, as I'm approaching 80 years old. So I first denied those energies, and then I found a way to actualize them, and that's kind of how I got to where I am right now.
So I think that's probably what happens with many of us, is there might be a small, although vital, part of our many facets that we're not sure it really fits, but we keep getting little whispers and urges towards that. And I think when I look around, both at my patients and my fellow students and my teachers, when you incorporate those, when you at least give them voice, the fullness that we can step into, a fullness of ourselves, is really amazing. Have you seen that?
Absolutely. And I think to give occasion to that voice speaking to us, I think to set the stage, I've learned, at least for me, is helpful. For example, when I'm in nature, I'm more likely to be in tune with that voice. When I do exercises to alter my state of consciousness through drumming, or again being in nature, or rattling, or just breathing different ways, I'm more open to those stirrings and those voices. So I agree 100% with what you say. The voices are out there. We just have to find ways to be receptive to them.
So when we talk about being a shaman, well, first of all, what I notice is that I haven't heard anybody who talks about shamanic practices or styles or thinking that it doesn't include nature. So what really is a shaman, and does it have to involve a connection to nature?
Well, I think it does, because a shaman, I think, is someone who works with energy, to heal themselves and others, knows how to travel and journey in alternative states and alternative realms through working with their dreams or through shamanic journey. And to me, the goals of shamanism are similar to the goals of other spiritual traditions, which are, it's a way to start to learn who you are. It's a way to relate to higher powers, other energies, however you think about that. And it causes one, I believe, to start to want to give back because you feel you're part of this larger energy. So that's how I think about shamanism, and part of it, to your question, does involve being connected to other realms than what our ego consciousness normally thinks about, and that includes nature and our dream world and the world that we encounter when we journey.
And those kind of, I think you said something important here, is being open to the other realms and being willing to acknowledge that their existence, or at least the possibility of their existence. And that really broadens your perception. And for me, I see it amplifying your consciousness.
It does. And I'm a believer that energy and intent are intertwined, and that energy follows intent. And so if we intend something, we're more likely to energize it. And that as we work in those realms of the transpersonal, we can gain energy and information that, if we learn how to work with that information and energy, can be used to change aspects of our everyday life. And to me, that's one of the big benefits of all this work, to make changes in the everyday.
Right, and help you, help a person, help someone, help yourself meet the challenges of life. And you know, you said something that made me remember, I too read the Carlos Castaneda books, and they were pivotal for me in opening my awareness to the unseen realm. And I remember, and I believe it was through Don Juan's teachings, but the whole goal was to become a man of knowledge. And I think you're saying that perhaps in a different context, but the more we take in and the more we see that we can be a part of by opening our perception, and it really does make you fuller, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's categorization that says, if you learn a lot of facts, you have some knowledge. And then maybe you learn to trust your intuitions, and you gain a certain wisdom, you know, your body sensation. So there's a difference between knowledge and then wisdom. But then there's the realms of the unknowable. And we're really talking about navigating them, where all of us can make meaning for ourselves from those realms of the unknowable, but they are essentially unknowable. For example, the place from which we all came, in which I believe we'll all come back, I call it, as you know, the quiet, the place before creation. Nobody knows for sure what that is all about, this place of pure potential, but we all, when we visit it, project onto it certain meanings. And I have found it is, I know you know, a very important source of energy and information. So I think that those realms are there and are all manifestations of this creative energy of the universe. So we can relate to these emanations of the creative energy of the universe, the archetypes, the wind, the animals. We can interact with those energies to become more conversant with the ultimate energies.
Yeah, I love that. I love that about my learning in the realms of journeying and shamanism and energy. So just a reminder to everybody, at the end of each show, we do upload a meditation to my website. And that meditation this time is going to use Carl's journey to the quiet, and it will be uploaded to the website, and I do have his permission to use it. So please look for that in the next day or so. And we're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, I really want to talk to Carl about how can we take sort of these esoteric things like journeying and talking about and to power animals, and how do we use them in our day-to-day life, and what is the role of this mystical, and does it really help us in the basic things that we do in our daily life? So we'll take a quick break now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
To see your life from an angel's perspective, book a personal consultation with Claire Candy Hoff, angelic walk-in angel Ariel at Angel Healing House. Candy provides intuitive counseling, Reiki, and angel readings in person in Los Angeles or nationally and internationally via phone or Skype. She will channel the practical tools you need to transform your life. Call now, 831-277-3716, or visit angelhealinghouse.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
If you struggle with fear and anxiety, you know how powerless and stuck these emotions can make you feel. You've tried everything, but nothing helped you overcome these blocks. Dr. Friedman Schaub, award-winning author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, created a special program which helped thousands of his clients to become healthy, happy, and confident again. Learn how to eliminate negative self-talk, let go of your emotional baggage, and replace limiting beliefs. With Dr. Friedman's accelerated program, you can break through your challenges. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
So welcome back, everybody. Again, this is Doc Martin, and I'm here with my very good friend and teacher, Dr. Carl Greer. So Carl, let's just take a minute, if you don't mind, please, and tell the people the titles of the books you've written and how to reach you on your website, if you do that for us.
One book is Change Your Story, Change Your Life, Using Shamanic and Jungian Tools to Achieve Personal Transformation. My second book was Change the Story of Your Health, Using Shamanic and Jungian Techniques for Healing. And my website is carlgreer.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. So how about that? How do we use shamanic processes in our day jobs? How do we use them when we want to make a change And I know your books do exactly that, is lead us through that. But could you briefly sort of introduce us to that idea?
Yes. I've, just because of what I've done in the world, I've listened to many, many stories. And some are happy, some are sad, but many of them have the yearning to have them be different, to change. And so when I've thought about all that, I've recognized that for many people, they're not really honest with themselves or take the time to say what their story actually is. And not just the big story, which is important, but the sub-chapters, like what is really the story of your health? What is really the story of your relationships? What's really the story of your job, of your moods and your psychology and so forth? And when people spend time being honest with themselves and telling them the true story for themselves, not just the story they want others to believe or see, then often they say, gee, I wish it were different. I wish I could do this instead of that. I wish I felt this way instead of that. And they'll have great intentions to make a change. For example, after the new year, many people say, I want to lose weight or I want to exercise, and they buy a gym membership, but they don't stick to it. So I've always been interested in when people actually get to that point, they really address what their story is, they've decided they like to make changes, but they can't. And so there's the notion that part of them wants to change, but clearly some part of them doesn't want to change. And it's that kind of unconscious part that also can control us more than we think, that shamanic work and Jungian work can help us access. So through journeying, working with our dreams in a process which perhaps we'll talk about later, I call dialoguing, we're able to access these parts of ourselves that may have different agendas for us than our consciousness. And by so doing, in kind of working with the right brain instead of always the left brain, we're able to get insights and energies and information that allows us to make those changes, which have been too hard for us to make up until now. So that's kind of what my work is really, and my interest is, how do you bring these esoteric things, like journeying, dream work, into your life so that you can make the changes that you want to make that reflect in different relationships, different health, different attitudes towards your work, having different moods, different relationships to time, money, sexuality, to a higher power, and so forth.
Well, you know what I'm struck by is it seems as if, at the very least, the first step has to be courage to be willing to see other parts of yourself. As you said, the subconscious, there might be a part of you that doesn't want to change. And being aware, willingness to look at that, and then willingness to open your eyes, meaning the eyes of your mind, to hear why, and taking in that data and honoring that other part of us, really, and, you know, instead of thinking we're the slave master or the control center running the whole show and we keep getting twisted and stumble, well, maybe opening your eyes and listening to or seeing that there's another piece of you that is actually saying, don't want to.
Right.
And so your processes, in my experience, when we've done them in our group classes and when I've seen them in reading your book, those processes will help you really face that and have a tool by which if you don't have the courage to step off on your own, follow this technique and we'll give you guideposts along the way. And maybe if you just follow along and really have the courage to do it, then you've done it and you come out on the other side, eyes wide open or wider open.
Yeah, I agree. And what I like about doing it just as you described, you're getting your expertise really from yourself, as opposed to early on in the process saying, gee, I need my doctor to tell me what to do. I need my psychologist to tell me what to do. I need my friend to tell me what to do. You're really working with your own inner processes to allow you to change. And you do it in a lot of kind of, I think, fun ways. For example, I'd say, all right, Carl, write a poem about your health. Write a little story about it. What color does your health look like? What animal does it remind you of? And so by kind of shaking yourself up, you're getting different vantage points to look at it, as opposed to, you know, I've got a high blood pressure and my glucose is this and, you know, my cholesterol is this. But you're all interesting in and of themselves, but it doesn't necessarily give us the full picture of how our health is interrelated, as an example, with so many other parts of our being. It's not just those numbers, but it's our moods, and it's our thoughts. It's our sitting practices at our desk, et cetera, et cetera.
And, you know, I think what a reminder, and I'm hearing that reminder as a physician, we're so used to giving prescriptions, and I don't necessarily mean for a drug, but we prescribe, go do this, go do this, go do. So it's a top-down, it can become a completely top-down relationship.
Yes.
Well, and the same thing within yourself, within the parts of yourself. If you are only doing it from an external stimulus, and not because you are listening to that small facet of yourself, or because you are really choosing to own it, it doesn't hold in the long run. So I have to caution myself. I'm listening to this. I'm hearing a reminder. I've got to converse with my patient to say, this is the three ways I can see it going. Which one suits you right now? And there's times when I'll tell a story of a patient of mine. We'll, of course, leave names out, but he's a type 1 diabetic and terribly, terribly controlled. And he was in his mid-40s, lousy sugars. And I kept suggesting an insulin pump. I had given up. I had given up because I knew it would help him. I just knew it. He had no interest. And suddenly, 5 years later, probably I'd given up for about a year, he said, I want to do it. And he is having now the best control he's ever had in his whole life. So
yes,
you've got to make that. You know, do you remember that? What's the guy's name? Monty Roberts. Was he the horse whisperer? And he uses the term join up when he's training a horse. We have to join up not only when we're doing our own work, join up with those small parts of ourselves, because we're not slave masters. We're not top down. This is a collection. We are a collective, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I think as we become less literal and we're thinking metaphorically, it opens up the realms of healing possibilities. For example, I did a journey once for myself. It was a lower world journey for my health, and I was trying to get an insight into some of the health conditions that I have, which include family history of hardening of the arteries and heart kind of diseases. And I got glimpses of how my parents smoked, but also how and I grew up in that atmosphere, and you know, we all ate Midwestern, a lot of gravy and desserts and, you know, pies and meat and potatoes, which I love, but there's some evidence that's not the best long-term health prescription. So a lot of things I kind of got these pictures of, but it was also the metaphor of constriction and flow. So how have I, at another level, constricted my life? How have I not let things flow? So as I have worked with those energies, flow, constriction, and in addition to doing, you know, things to more directly affect cardiovascular health, it really made a difference to me. And I've done that in nature, and I've had some for myself, some surprising reversals of blockages as a result of my doing just the energy work that we're talking about now.
Yeah, I love that, because I think we are, as lay people, and the many of us understand the possibility of energy medicine and those kinds of journeys and awarenesses and shifting. I'm hoping that it's going to become more mainstream, because there's immense power in the recognition that we have the answers, if not inside our subconscious and our higher self, but perhaps in the universal knowledge. And just an aside, that's what the meditation to the quiet is all about, when that's uploaded in a day or so. But that incredible potential for healing and for healing ourselves, I'm just struck by it. And I'm so excited that it's becoming more mainstream, or at least people are willing to think about it.
Yes.
And I just love the possibilities we have coming up. But anyway, we're going to take a short break right now. And when we come back, I really want to talk, because I love this concept, a little bit about power animals and allies. And then I want to talk about a very powerful concept that is at the heart and the depth of, I believe, of good shamanic and energy medicine. That's called Aini. And that's A-Y-N-I, and it means right relationship. So in a couple of minutes, we're going to take a short break. I'll be back with Carl, and we'll talk about more exciting things.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning, to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty, beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Has your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Are you searching?
Are you searching?
Looking for a sign?
I'm looking for a sign.
A message you need to hear?
Is anybody out
from the great unknown? From the most mysterious place?
The Angel Lady.
That is the most familiar to your soul?
The Angel
in the depths of who you are?
The Angel
Lady. Universe put someone here to talk to. Someone God gave a blessing to. That you may find insight with.
TheAngelLady.net.
TheAngelLady.net. 1-800-323-1790.
1-800-323-1790.
Everyone, we're back. Carl and I are here. And I want to spend the next few minutes, because I love the idea so much, and I think it's so really cool, I want to talk about allies. And in energy work and shamanic work, allies are a big deal, but specifically the power animal. And then I want to bridge off into the concept of Aini. So Carl, tell us about how do shamans gather allies, and then take us a little bit into the understanding of a power animal.
I think to understand ally or power animal, you have to think a little bit about what a shaman's worldview is. And my worldview is, I think, shared by other shamans. And here's what it is, that there is this place before creation from which everything came. And it's before our universe and before the idea of a universe. It's just kind of an isness, this pure potential. So it's when people talk about the one and the many and the many and the one, it's the one. But from it, we have all these things that have come forth, you know, people and rocks and animals and flowers. So all of those precipitations or emanations from this one contain the energy of the one, but so many different colorations. You know, there's a different energy between a man and a woman, between a horse and an elephant. There's some commonalities, but you know, there's some differences. And it's possible to relate to all of the creations. You know, shamans believe you can create a relationship to the energy of a rock, to the energy of a flower, a tree, a river, an animal. And because animals are in some ways closer to us energetically than, say, a rock or a flower, they can hold for us energies that can be helpful to us in our evolving journeys. And so if we go on a journey and seek out a power animal and believe that somehow we're part of this magical universe where things are happening at one level just the way they're supposed to, we may encounter an animal that pops into our psyche or our consciousness that we didn't expect. And then our task is to find out why you now? What message do you have for me? What can you do for me? What can I do for you? Getting back to a concept you mentioned earlier of Aini, what's the right relationship between you and that power animal? So it's a source, of information and energy. So it would be one kind of an ally, but people also have allies with the water or with other elements of nature, with the earth, sand, with the wind, with fire, the sun. So we can have allies because if we're all part of this one and we're all connected, so the one is in the many and the many is in the one, we can start to dance with all these interconnected things and learn from them. And in a humble way, perhaps some of them can learn from us. It's the idea that just as we observe nature, nature is observing us, and so we're part of this interconnected set of relationships that are evolving and informing each other, and in the case of ourselves, informing our lives if we allow them to be informed, so that we can make changes that we otherwise wouldn't have made. Allies, power animals, can help us to do that.
And, you know, many times we see these allies and power animals, and they kind of shapeshift, and I mean that in the sense that they are seen to be distinct from us, and yet, as you say, they represent an energy that could live inside of us that we need to maximize or that we need to call on to bring us forward in something, some challenge in life. And I'm just reminded by the journey that to the underworld that Alberto teaches. And after going through an exploration of a process where you've been to visit a wound and what was the contract you made about something that's led you to this challenge position, at the end, you take home or you meet a power animal and you have it come back with you from the journey. And when I've seen that in myself and in clients, that power animal, more often than not, represents an energy. For example, if someone happened to come back with a wolf, they actually needed some wise courage to approach the next phase and how they're going to shift something in their life. And
yes.
And those, and I have probably been, I'll say guilty, but I don't feel guilty because it's such a joyful connection. I have anthropomorphized these energies within myself because when, and again in Alberto's teachings, when I've met the jaguar, when I've journeyed and I've been in a scary place, that jaguar in my journeys, he's my jaguar. I call him my jaguar. And he steps in and in the journeying shifts it to my benefit. And I believe that that is happening subconsciously and that that animal is really giving my subconscious, or it is my subconscious, or a piece of me that is saying, you can handle this. You have courage. You have the ability to track in the darkness to find the treasure. You have the ability to metabolize these things that feel like challenges that may be making you feel toxic. And so I find myself totally in love when I meet something comes to me as a power animal or an ally.
And you have learned how to make meaning from the encounter. And that's something that anybody can learn, but it's a process. And for you, it's been meaningful because it's given you insights that you otherwise wouldn't have into your everyday life, I'm hearing you say. Would that be right?
That's absolutely true.
And sometimes it's interesting, Sharon, that people will have a power animal that initially they don't want it. They say, gee, I don't want that one. I don't want the mouse. I want the big lion. Or I want the bear. But
right.
If they stick with that process, you know, sometimes the energy of the mouth, not being out there, being observant, you know, being quiet, just industrious, taking care of business, maybe that's the energy they need rather than being identified with the lion at that point in time. Because that's what their psyche gave them. Or I remember once a woman encountered a porcupine. She hated that power animal, but it led her, with time and patience, to start looking at prickliness and to start to own some of her own prickliness that she had really projected onto others who were prickly towards her. But she started to get a whole different idea about an aspect of herself that she hadn't had before, which she ultimately found very useful.
And I'm just sitting here smiling because I could imagine with a porcupine, that is very discerning energy. So you also get to say, I'm going to be prickly about my interaction with you because I'm not certain about you. And maybe, maybe a person needs some discernment. Maybe they need a little distance and not to let everybody come swarming in on them.
Yep.
And I was just thinking also about the mouse, you know, what a wonderful, you travel along all the corners of the room and nobody sees you and you get to find out everything. And, you know, kind of an undercurrent behind the scenes, you're like the little spy gathering everything. So, yeah, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. And the beauty of those two women with those two power animals was that they were able to have a conversation with each of them. Why did you come? And then specifically that other part of them, which was embodied by the mouse and the porcupine, was given voice. It was the other that gave them information because they were able to find out for themselves what the meaning of that mouse was and what the meaning of that porcupine was. So that's the beauty of doing the dialoguing work, as opposed to in some traditions, you know, people would go to a dream book and say, all right, what does a mouse mean or what does a porcupine mean, without really getting into the individual meaning for a particular person at a particular time.
So that's a, yes, and that's a wonderful thing that reminds me. I really want to, and this may go over the break, so we're not constrained. We can talk about this as long as we want. Dialoguing, I learned that from you, and perhaps that's a Jungian tool. I don't know. But in our processes, when we confronted something, we had in our journey, we saw something in a message, the dialoguing to me was, first of all, it gave me humility. The fact that we could stand on our own two feet and have a conversation, that also, just that process took away fear. So I didn't have to be in hypervigilant mode. And to say to something that came to me, what do you have for me? Okay, we all love to get. But then to say, what may I give in return? Yes. And that is such a powerful place to be, I believe. And when we extend that to the interconnectedness of everything, that's really like saying, I'm a planet in this galaxy. You're a planet in this galaxy. We each have strength and we have our own sovereignty. And now let's talk to each other. So thank you, because I learned dialoguing from you, and it has really, really made a difference, not only in my own personal work, but in my way I am as a physician. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, dialoguing is basically just a conversation. And, you know, in a world of conflict now and polarities, I think we all, let's say interpersonally with somebody, sometimes we build up a big head of steam about something, but we really not conversed with the person who's agitating us. So it's a start with a conversation. Not all conversations resolve issues, but at least they can sometimes lead to agree to disagree, or in some cases, resolutions. So in a world that I described earlier of all these interconnections, where there's information, you know, everything contains information, signals. So how can we gain that information in a elegant way? And that's just by talking with it. And you ask, well, what's the origin of dialogue? Well, Gestalt therapy had what's called the empty chairs. Other mystery traditions have had similar practices. It would be akin to Jungian active imagination, where you're trying to interact one way or another with the unconscious. But in any event, you're trying to, in this world of all these interconnections, where I'm suggesting your thoughts, your emotions, your physiology, your neurotransmitters, your hormonal, they're all your symptoms, your disease, your immune system, they're all interconnected, and you can be relating to them. And so somebody can, for example, talk about the pain, dialogue with it from fibromyalgia to see where it leads them. Or the fact that they have type 2 diabetes, you know, a man had a very interesting conversation with it. They had a whole new relationship eventually with his diabetes as a result of the conversation. So it's possible to have this otherness that affects us in a relationship to us that's different just because we have a conversation with it. So, for example, you know, somebody has pain associated with bad shoulder or fibromyalgia or arthritis, and you say, hey, what could you tell me, Pay? And then the process is somehow you have to be shifting your consciousness, as you've done many times, Sharon, in this process, to become that pain. And a lot of people in that first attempt feel very self-conscious, and they say, well, I'm just making up what I'm going to say next. But amazingly, if people stick with the practice, all of a sudden they do become the pain. And then this pain is speaking to Sharon or to Carl and answering the question, why did you come? And then that's causing Sharon or Carl to have another question that you ask the pain. You then become the pain again. And all of a sudden, you've had a conversation and you've gained some information that you wouldn't have had you not had the conversation. So there's really like several parts of the process. One, there's the Carl or the shared who's asking the question. Then there's the thing or the symptom or the symbol that we're asking the question of, and we're becoming that. And then there's this third part that's kind of observing the interaction, that at the end of the day it's saying, okay, I've heard what Carl has to say. I've heard what, you know, the pain has to say. Now kind of what am I going to make of all that? And then you have information that you, Carl, or you, Sharon, can say, all right, this is a new insight I had. Maybe I'm going to do something a little different next time I'm in this situation, or next day when I decide how I'm going to interact with my daughter or my mother or my friend, or the food that I'm going to eat or not eat. It just gives you a bigger frame of reference to make choices from.
Yeah, and I love it also just to come full circle about that. For me, the energy of it is, you know, if you have a symptom you don't want, you're kind of and you want to get rid of it and push it away. But when you, it's like you set your sword down and you sit down in the circle and you, for a minute, you can still have your belief when you leave, but for a minute, you're going to hear what the other side has to say. And there's a softening that happens there. And there's actually an expansion. And then if you really are willing, and then the doors open and you see it, you see it so much clearer. And you're right, you learn a lot from that. So thank you for that. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I don't want to forget for us to talk about the concept of INI. So Carl and I will be back in a minute, and we'll tell you a little bit about that. See you soon.
To Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasik each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Are you truly ready to experience overflow in every area of your life? Are you ready to go from limited to limitless? Imagine starting your week off with a deeper connection to the God consciousness. It's time for you to feel inspired, uplifted, and shifted. I invite you to join me, Tracy L., online or in person for our Soul Sundays. Start your week off feeling empowered and ready to serve and expand the miracles waiting for you.
Well, everybody, I'm a goofball because my producer just reminded me that Carl and I were on such a roll that I ran out of time. So I just want to briefly tell you about INE before we close. And please get Carl's books. And again, Dr. Carl Greer. And he wrote two books that you'll find on Amazon, Change Your Story, Change Your Life, and Change the Story of Your Health. And just, I briefly want to leave you with the concept of INE because it is such a big one in energy medicine. It's about being in right relationship. And the dialoguing is all about that. Dialoguing is, in my view, inside the energy of INE. But you want to really be willing to see the other point of view. And it comes with a hump with humility and gratitude. And so, although we didn't have enough time to talk about it because we got carried away, I do want you to think about that and read Carl's books. And Carl, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you. You're a master shaman, but you've been a very powerful teacher for me. And I'm just so happy that you were on this show with me. And thank you so much for being here today.
Well, my pleasure. You're a great healer yourself. You're a great friend, and I was really honored and privileged to spend time with you in this last hour.
And even if we did get on a roll, but anyway, everybody, just a reminder, we're going to have a meditation to tap into the quiet, this place before creation. I call it the pluripotent, and that'll be uploaded to my website, and then I'll get a copy to Carl, and he can upload it to his website. But that's it for our talk today on Maximum Medicine Radio. I'm Dr. Sharon Martin, and this is the place you want to come, and that will be the first Wednesday of each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And we'll talk about more exciting things like this. Thank you for being here today.
You've been listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin. Tune in next time while the Doc talks health, spirituality, and the impact your beliefs have on every part of who you are, body and soul. Doc Martin unpacks the challenges we face as human beings and teaches callers to open the door between the scientific and the mystical. Expand into your multidimensional self. Learn how beliefs can set you free or keep you caged in mediocre health. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.